T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
How closely are you working with Mac Jones compared to players at other positions on offense?
Yeah, so I'll give you a direct answer right there, not to be evasive or anything. I am working with Mac, along with, you know, some other people in the offense, and working with all the skill group on offense. I'd say all of us are working collectively, all right, as a coaching unit to work with the entire offense. So that's the most direct and specific answer I could give you on that, guys. In terms of, you know, who's coaching each position, you'll see me on the field with the quarterbacks. We'll be meeting together as a skill group. We'll break off in individual meetings. You know, for us, it's important right now for all of our coaches to be able to coach all the skill players, okay, or for that matter, the line players as well, as we go through this. And as we divide up and run 2 and 3 spot drills, it's important that if it's a ball handling drill and Vinny Sinceri is running it, that Vinny can coach the quarterbacks as well. And we're all on the same page. That's been a main emphasis for us as a coaching staff, that we want to make sure we can all coach all the players and that nobody's out there, you know, with, you know, a lack of knowledge in the offense.
Anybody except for you, Joe Judge.
You think maybe he doesn't know? Like, is he still ignorant to the fact that, like, other coaches were cleaning up his mess?
By the way, this is WEI, Boston Sports Original, with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens. I'm Megan Ottolini. Christian Arcan is on vacation. He'll be back with Adam Jones and myself on Monday. Really happy to have you guys in here today for this special report, though.
That's
this expose.
And, specific answer. I don't even want to hear
his voice right now.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry. It's hurtful. So annoying. And I get it. I get it. Because people say that about my voice all the time. So I totally get it.
They say it about a lot of people's voice on the radio. It's weird.
It's just weird how it happens more often with women, though. Anyway, back to Joe Judge.
Oh, we just made it a sexist thing?
It is a sexist thing. He talks too much for someone who doesn't have enough to say. Like, to your point, Andy,
I would clip that. That was well said. We could probably just leave now, call it a show.
He talks too much. He doesn't have anything to back it up.
It's
so
true.
He just talks and 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 talks. And you probably sit through that through minicamp as Mac Jones and you're going, I can't do this. I can't do this for a year. I'm going to lose my freaking mind. I'm going from Nick Saban to Josh McDaniels to, I'll tell you right now, all right, I'm not going to mess around. I'm not going to beat around. And that's the real truth.
Because.
Yeah, so I'll give you a direct answer right there, not to be evasive or anything.
Why did he presume?
Not to be evasive or anything, not going to do a coach speak or anything like that.
Why did he presume we were going to assume he was being evasive? Like, this was really early in the process.
Because he's weird.
He is. But I generally have this theory that people talk more when they don't actually have the answer. Like, it's if you have the actual answer,
of course,
you just give the answer. If you talk more, you're just kind of being a politician and talking in circles and saying stuff and talking points and T-shirts and
he should
motivational
be known
theories.
As the Foxborough filibuster, because that's exactly what he did. That's where the word salad and calling him Joe Judge and, you know, Jazz Matt and everything. That's sort of a nickname that, you know.
But you said call him Joe Judge.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, Joe Jazz, sorry. And
his parents called him Joe Judge.
Exactly. That's the name they gave
years ago. We called him Scatty P and Joe Jazz because listening to them was like trying to get through improvisational jazz. It just didn't make any sense.
The answer that Matt Patricia...
And you wonder when it's going to end.
The answer that Matt Patricia gave to Phil Perry on a basic sideline communication issue maybe a couple months back was 2.5 minutes long. It was its own breakout, like, Patriots Talk podcast. The answer alone, which means that he's making it up as he goes because they didn't take time to establish a base, obviously. For God's sakes, they didn't even have a freaking defensive answer to their play calls.
Okay, so we established there that he was working closely with Mac Jones, at least to start, at least through training camp, mini camp, OTAs, and all that. So we get to around, at this point, I'm going to take us to just before Halloween. And at this point, Chris Sims, who's usually not a fan of us, not a fan of WEEI, nope, actively tells people not to listen to us. I hate to say it. It's like that meme, like, oh, the worst person you know just made a good point.
They're idiots. Don't listen to that show.
So he said this from the National View, and he is tied into the Patriots, or at least some people on the Patriots. And so it's going to boomerang us back. But this is what Chris Sims said right before Halloween.
There's something going on in New England. He's pissed them off. This is a real thing. I know it. Florio knows it. I don't know the exact details, whether he talks shit about the coaches behind them to the Kraft family, or he talks shit about the two new offensive coordinators to Belichick. There is an issue there. There is. I mean, there's a part of me that the game really out. I want to go, ooh, they called those plays with Mac Jones, and they put Bailey Zappi in, and they called the, you know, some. I want to be like, were they setting it up for failure? What was going on there? Yeah. The whole thing was just un-New England-like and weird to me.
Okay, I think the last part is stupid. I think you call the plays that you think are going to get you progress down the field. I don't think that they're actively calling, that they were actively trying to sabotage Mac Jones while he was the starting quarterback.
Agreed.
Okay, thank you. The
actively
Chicago game
sabotaging?
Was very weird. No,
passively sabotaging?
Yeah. Consciously sabotaging?
The Chicago game, you said it on the podcast that the most impressive thing that Bill Belichick did all season was effed up two quarterbacks in one single game.
Right.
Because Mac was already a mess, and then he got screwed with more because he heard the crowd chant for Zappi, and then he left Zappi in too long when Mac was the one who had gotten 95% of the first team reps. So if anything, the Chicago game is the microcosm of the season as to what a fuster cluck everything was down there.
And that's actually addressed in the story where they call it the planned rotation or the I still don't believe that, because all the players said, I didn't know what was going on, and players base it on practice.
I looked up from the huddle and I was like, oh, hey, Zap.
Right. That means you didn't look up on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday and say, oh, hey, Zap. That's how players are simple. They don't listen to a lot of crap. They just, oh, yeah, this guy's getting reps with me, so he's probably going to get reps with me on Sunday. They didn't get reps with the guy. Then all of a sudden on Sunday, or Monday, they were getting reps with the guy. So I don't buy that either. The Chris Sims thing, though, is it talking crap if it's the truth?
Okay. Well, even if it's talking crap, let's define that. Because the way that Chris Sims presents it there makes it sound like Mac is mouthing off to anybody who will listen.
Right.
I'm not sure that that's really who Mac is. I'm sure he was complaining. I'm sure his teammates knew that he wasn't in love with Joe Judge at this point in the season. I don't know if it was mouthing off. The craziest thing to me, because Andrew Callahan came on our station, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, and said this, which then he doubled down on in the piece, and you don't have to grab this, Ryan. I just want to grab right after it. You'll know. He said that the issue between Mac Jones and Joe Judge was born out of the comments irking him that he would learn from Joe Judge and Joe Judge would learn from him. That was the root of the dysfunction between them. Can we just hear those comments from Mac again so you can hear how incredibly divisive and condescending Mac is?
So he has knowledge that is very beneficial to me as a quarterback, and obviously I'm going to learn with him. That's the goal, is to kind of, you know, teach each other and move along. And
oh, how could you? How could you, Mac? How could you say that about your coach, especially when Bill O'Brien had said the exact same thing about you and Bryce Young?
That's
like
the
a much
thing.
More accomplished offensive coordinator, former NFL head coach, college coach, I'll just say, has held many different positions and accomplished more than Joe Judge. How could you, Mac? That is totally one of those situations. I've said it before, because all three of us have been in it, because we've stepped in it accidentally one time or another.
No.
But sometimes you say something and you know it's going to get back to you and you're like, oh, this is going to be a pain in my rear end. And then there's other times when you get called in the principal's office and you go, I'm in trouble for that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You're kidding me. You're offended by that?
Right.
That's the problem? And that has to be that scenario because Mac, whether you think he's a good quarterback or his arm sucks or he can't scramble out of the pocket or whatever, he's not a dummy. And I'm sure that when he found out that that was an issue that Joe Judge had with him, he was like, are you freaking kidding me?
That's the only reaction is an eye roll and are you effing kidding me?
Like grow up.
And that is born out of insecurity. You talked about Billy O'Brien doesn't have an insecure bone in his body.
I love that about him.
It's probably part of who he is, but also because he's been doing this for 20 years. And he's not insecure about his knowledge and his role and what people are going to think about him. And for Joe Judge to be upset about that. Now, I don't think Mac should have said it personally.
Mm-mm.
Because he knew
think he should have said that?
No, because you're That's in the midst so of innocent, a microscopic Annie. Analysis of what the hell is going on around here. And for him to admit, even though we know it, we don't need you to voice it and bring attention to you probably are teaching your coach because that's a backwards relationship. Because I'm pretty sure I pounced on it and wrote a column on WEEI.com the
He's
day he said it.
First time coaching it.
But don't say it. Like, we know it, but don't validate
anywhere
it.
Else that is totally normal.
It's sort of like this whole story is validating everything we thought all along and we feel
it
vindicated.
Is.
Like, the Patriots probably don't want this out
but
there.
This
Robert Kraft,
also,
Bill Belichick don't want this out there.
The bigger thing, though, and I bring this back to Bill, and you can push back on me if you feel like I'm wrong about this, but isn't this indicative of the effed up environment there right now?
Oh, yeah.
That the environment is, we're going to cause dysfunction, or dysfunction is going to be born out of this offensive coach and Mac Jones, the second-year quarterback, because we're so worried, or the coach is so worried, about one comment that Mac said during training camp that 80% of the fandom is not going to have any idea about. And now this is going to plant a seed of some kind of dysfunction between them. Like, honestly, who cares?
But
that's what it comes down to. Who cares?
I think a confident coach, a better coach, would have just said, hey, Mac, we probably don't need to be pointing out that you're teaching me. Like, people are going to pounce on that. This is Boston. There's multiple sports talk radio stations. There's multiple TV networks that do nightly shows that overanalyze. And we are in a unique situation. We are in a very unique situation. You probably don't need, but to get angry and to have it be like the first step towards a dysfunctional relationship and like that this is a broken, flawed relationship, that's idiotic. You could have just said, yeah, we don't need to say that.
We have a conspiracy corner over here. I just want to take one call before we go to break, Fitzy. This is Alan in Rehoboth. Alan, what is your theory here?
All right, so I don't even know why you guys haven't thought of it, and maybe it makes for good radio otherwise, but you know that Bill Belichick could not bring Bill O'Brien in last year, and he wasn't going to hire an offensive coordinator for 1 year. So he took two free, I don't even know what the word is, I'll try to keep it clean, two free guys off the scrap heap to come in and just fill that void. And if you think about it, the Patriots fumbled, I don't know, two or three games away, so they could have been in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I think that if they got in the playoffs, they would have made a pretty good run. So I'm not sure why you guys aren't talking about the fact that Bill O'Brien was actually negotiated the year prior, but he couldn't leave Saban, and Bill wasn't going to pull him from Saban because they had that agreement.
Right. He could have. We're going down the road of unwritten rules in the Saban-Belichick relationship. We've talked about this. Well, that's a separate thing. I think this was all based in unwritten Belichickian rules, but we have talked about this. I said it to you, Fitzy. The last press conference Matt Patricia did when he was getting hammered by, I think, Curran for about some of the idiocy of the offense.
He didn't have a voice.
He just had
a
smile.
This is going to sound mean, but, I have to ask.
Yeah, and then he was fine with it. And Patricia was like, that's really a great question, like happy-go-lucky answer. And that's when it clicked on me. He is just a placeholder. Either he knows it's already over, or he knew he was just an actor in a role and was a placeholder for a season. So I've talked a lot about this that I think. Now, the one problem is that the lack of mentions of Matt Patricia in any role right now with the New England Patriots, was he willing to kill his career over it?
That's my question. Is this like just the biggest favor that he was doing to Belichick? Because he was already getting paid by the Lions. Just be sitting around or, going to some college job or whatever he wanted.
Repairing his image, doing whatever he thought
he'd be
led
in Thailand with Cliff Kingsbury, right?
Sure,
now.
Too.
Sounds great, right?
You see them on a boat, like just rowing through some clear
with
blue
Cliff
water?
With Cliff Kingsbury hiding the beats in his ears so he doesn't have to listen to Patricia go on and on and on.
I also don't fully accept the idea that you couldn't hire him. Like, why? It happens all the time. People break contracts, people leave contracts. People, like, This right. is sports. I'm sorry. So you couldn't hire him. Also, don't buy the theory why you couldn't do the 1 year filler program with Nick Caley.
Yes, that's the much more obvious.
Works. Oh my God! If Caley works, you know what you do?
What?
Keep Caley
and pay him less than you have to pay O'Brien.
Right. I know.
Like, what's the downside of that?
And also keep him for the next five or six years.
So what's the downside? Mm-hmm. So I like the theory of Patricia as the willing placeholder, but the logic around it is sometimes hard to mold.
All right, we got a trend. On the other side, we're going to talk to Patriots insider for NBC Sports Boston, our buddy Tom E. Curran, because he's been waiting in these waters for a while and, you know, leaving these little breadcrumbs all through the season as well. He's the one who coined the term Maclash and pointed the finger directly at Joe Judge just a couple weeks ago. We're going to return to that, and then we're going to talk to Curran on the other side.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Mac Jones wasn't happy. He was telling people he wasn't happy. He was calling people about, hey, can you help us with ideas and do stuff like that? From my understanding, Belichick found out all these things. He found out that Mac was talking to people and all this. And I think that's where it did get personal. And that's where.
And Belichick made Mac Jones aware of it too, as you might imagine.
Exactly.
Which is why it stopped.
Right. And then I think with the Bailey Zappi thing, I think you're right there. I think that was a little bit of a dig.
Shut up!
Here's the thing about that. Like, when we break down this season and we get this great reporting from Andrew Callahan and Karen Garigian in the Boston Herald with all this sourcing, and we're going to talk to Tommy Curran in just about 5 minutes, get his perspective because he's been dropping the breadcrumbs all season long. But we get this great reporting, and it seems to confirm the first half of what those guys, Chris Sims and Mike Florio, are talking about. Mac Jones is maybe texting people on the outside, calling people on the outside, asking, help me.
Yeah.
Nobody here will help me. I can't even ask questions. I'm being told, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out when we get there. And then they have to take it to the Zappi thing. Oh, yeah, and that's why they did this with Zappi. And it's like, why? You had enough there. Stick with what you hear is actually happening. Why do you have to zag to the Zappi stuff? That came out of an injury, you know?
Well,
You're bending your head to the side.
The part that gets to me is it came out of an injury first and foremost. Mm-hmm. So that started that ball rolling. And are you trying to break Mac more than you already are?
Like, he's already asking for help. He's
right.
saying, throw me a lifeline, someone. Easy there.
There was a microphone.
Yeah,
wasn't
your
right.
microphone wasn't on.
You wouldn't notice. And don't forget, the injury itself also begat a separate series of controversies because there was the rumor of disagreement over Mac wants to rehab it the right way and they want him to get the tightrope surgery.
Right.
So as if things already weren't, to use a Tom Curran term, at loggerheads, that just added or compounded the frustrations that were building inside there.
And if you look back over the season, like we are right now, there were certain moments where before we got to what I think was the boiling point, which was Thursday Night Football after they played the Bills with the short game effing sucks. There were points with Mac where you could see that it had full capability of going sideways. Like, even just, I know it's not fair. It's not fair. But the photos of him getting carried with a high ankle sprain, I understand how some fans bristled at that. Very not the Tom Brady type quarterback that they had seen for years. Definitely not like Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow, the way that those handled those. Then again, I don't think he thought he was going to have his picture taken, so he was just kind of letting the emotions out.
He actually held it together until he got to the point
he
where
hopped
he
off
didn't.
The field,
hopped off the
and
field,
then,
and then like
he didn't realize that the photographers were in the tunnel.
Right.
So, you know, not a rookie mistake, but
live and learn.
Quarterback
it may
mistake.
Have hurt Terry.
And he missed like a month.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes is going to play, so maybe it's a more severe injury. Maybe it, you know, like it's a different thing.
Well,
like,
the Mahomes injury, I mean, that's a whole other conversation with whatever is going on there. I don't know if you saw the video yesterday of him walking from to and from the podium, no boot, nothing. He's
that's
because
it's not actually Mahomes.
Oh,
it's DeMar
okay.
Hamlin. It's DeMar
Got
Hamlin.
It. So DeMar Hamlin's there. There's a body double in for DeMar Hamlin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's all about the vaccine.
There goes the plan for tomorrow's show.
Oh, well.
we blew it today.
Go to the National Syndicate.
So since we're about to talk to our buddy Tommy Curran, and he came onto this show, I don't know if it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago.
He was
talking about the MacLash that was coming out because suddenly we're hearing about, oh, Mac was doing this. Mac has a bad attitude. Mac was, you know, locking horns with Joe Judge with Matt Patricia and this and that, and he had a theory about where this was all coming from.
There's some Mac stabbing going on. Chris Sims worked in the Patriots organization, obviously is well connected within the league and around the league, and if you look at this situation, well, someone's telling Chris Sims that, yeah, Mac acts out. Mac's driving us crazy. He might show us up when the television cameras are rolling, but you know what? He could be a real pain in the ass, and Bill's just about had it. To me, that is what part of the New England Patriots have become about lately. They've always been that way to a degree. Very Machiavellian. Very much protecting your own territory, saving face, getting your story, your narrative out there as quickly as possible. And I think that Mac Jones' narrative carried the day for a long, 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 long time because it was obvious it was a mistake. But it became so overt that now I think you're seeing pushback. And I'm not surprised if the pushback isn't coming from Joe Judge and or Matt Patricia.
That was me gasping at the end. This is the first time I heard that.
The call came from within the house.
Joe Judge and or Matt Patricia. Because if, as you look over, the way it went was, okay, cycle is, these guys are not qualified. They shouldn't be there. They're screwing up Mac. And then it goes, Mac Zappy! That craziness, that weird sideways moment we got into. And then it went, Mac is cussing out, MFing everybody on the sidelines. And not sure if that's a good look. And it seemed like Joe Judge and Matt Patricia, definitely Joe Judge, but maybe also Matt Patricia kind of jumped on that narrative to try to write it out. Like, this guy has a bad attitude. This guy, he's not a patriot, you know?
And now we come back around thanks to the Boston Herald.
Thanks to Andrew Callahan and Karen Garigian.
As a texter said, maybe everyone should wear Sorry Mac shirts to the first game next year because everybody that's been ripping him, I'd like to see you produce in an unproductive, dysfunctional environment.
Okay, joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline is Tom E. Curran of NBC Sports Boston. Tom Curran is brought to you by Dr. Matthew Lopresti at Leonard Hair Transplants, the hair doctor of Tom E. Curran at 1-800-GET-HAIR by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Become your own success story by dropping the weight holding you back. It starts with just one call to Awaken 180. God, Tom, you have so many sponsored by Unified Office, where they help businesses maximize every incoming call at unifiedoffice.com. Tommy Curran joins us now on the Harbor One Hotline. So, Tommy, I got to ask you the big picture question. Just reading this bombshell reporting from Andrew Callahan and Karen Garigian in the Boston Herald, how does this reflect on Bill? So much of it is about Matt Patricia, about Joe Judge, about Mac Jones. But as Bill told us at the beginning of the season, it all comes back to him.
Absolutely. And I think it reflects poorly on the decision. And I think what's great about this story is there's nothing necessarily in it aside from the quotes that are applied, which are appreciated and worthwhile. But we chronicled all this as the season went on because it's in one chronological, well laid out story that explains to you the agitations that existed. And why does it matter? That I think is what's important too, because I think there's probably plenty of people like, okay, well, bad year, bad decision, Bill O'Brien's here, that's what matters. What I believe is relevant is how much goodwill was forfeited by having a wasted year in deciding to put two people in positions of power and leadership when they were ill-suited you forfeited the goodwill of your players and to a degree the trust of your players. And now there's a regaining period that goes back on. So to me, this well illustrated how much advantage Bill took of his situation and doing whatever the hell he wanted to in terms of the hiring and saying, deal with it.
So the situation with the player that matters most, I think, in the eyes of most is Mac Jones. And I remember talking to you, Tom, I think on a midday hit a few weeks ago, a month plus ago now, and you questioned whether Mac, with his actions, could be making an enemy, quote unquote, of the head coach. Does that, because I think the relationship with Bill O'Brien will probably be fine. You know, they had that little getting to know at Alabama, and now it's a fresh start, all of that. What's the relationship between Mac Jones and Bill Belichick heading into year three?
Given the moves that Bill has made in this offseason, it's an acknowledgement, clearly, that he made a mistake and he's getting a professional in there to work with the young quarterback. That, to me, is him saying, look, maybe he was upstairs stomping his feet around in his bedroom and slamming doors, but I get it. I'm going to deal with it. We'll move forward. If I see any more of this crap next year, I'll know it's a bigger problem. What I think they need to do is both wipe the slate clean. Because Matt trusted Bill. He said it all season long, how much he respected Bill, how much he trusted Bill. He even went overboard in praising the intellect and ability of Matt Patricia. Even though he knew that Matt Patricia was doing him no personal development favors, he still did respect the way Matt Patricia was trying to do the job. So he waited a long time, Mac Jones did, before he flipped out. A long time.
Yep.
And I think that Bill will probably look at it and go, you know what, I guess maybe in hindsight, same way. But we do know Bill can hold a grudge, so it remains to be seen.
Suffice to say, yeah, Bill can hold a grudge or two, Tommy. Had you heard, though, and now with this piece and some other sources leaking out that Joe Judge was not very well liked by anyone in the building, had you heard that at all during the course of the season, or is this now all just sort of coming to bear? Because it seems like if that many people were frosted or off-put by him, that we would have heard about it sooner than this.
I think that over the course of time, I've alluded to and spoken about the agitations of people Judge. So I didn't have the Mac didn't like him at all. But I remember relating here on this station previously how when Joe Judge was wide receivers coach in 2019, it eventually erupted during a practice in which one player looked at him and said, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're talking about. And I'd also mentioned, I think, that folks within the league had said, look, Joe is very convincing in letting you know that he's got it. He's got it locked down. He is all set, and he understands what he's doing. And then you turn around, and it's not really done the way that you hoped it was going to be done. So I don't think that, look, did we know it? No. Could we tell? Yeah. It's not like they spent a lot of time together. And just the body language and facial expressions and dismissiveness shown really announced that they weren't getting along great. But again, this story, I don't want to say, hey, we knew this all along. This story does a good job of laying out just how agitated they were in specific instances.
There's definitely seems to be a lot of validation there to a lot of the things we've talked about on our station, talked to you about, talked to Andrew Callahan about, talked to other guys who are down there every day during the season. Andrew and Karen write in this, around early October, it seems like Joe Judge was starting to be phased out of the coaching duties that he had before that. And then months later, on the morning show, they talked to Bill Belichick about making a change at offensive coordinator, and he said something along the lines of, can't make any big changes at this time, or something along the lines of that. Do you think that, considering that Bill started the ball rolling on this around this time last year, did he react quickly enough to what was kind of just an ongoing failure in this situation? Did he respond quickly enough?
I don't think that there was any other levers to pull or buttons to push. There was nothing you could do. Once you spent the entire offseason implementing a new offense with a new language with people who had never really even taught offense before, and they were so far behind in their installation, as was well articulated too in the story, they were so far behind that they weren't even getting to things. And Bill Belichick was telling us, might take weeks, might take months, never know. They were telling us during the end of training camp that this is going to take a long time. There was nowhere to pivot, Mego. There was nothing else they could do except wait until the end of the season, hope it gets better here and there, catch a break, have Marcus Jones return a kick, have Kyle Duggar score a touchdown or two, and maybe we get in the playoffs. You never know. But I think that probably by midseason or towards the end of the season, it's like, well, we can't do this again. This was a mistake. Hopefully we can get Billy O, which is, again, they didn't bring anybody else in other than Billy O, who would conceivably be the repairman for the offense. So you start to wonder, and I was speaking to Julian Edelman's dad, Frank, today, who he is a card-carrying Bill guy, and we still talk all the time about the Patriots. He's like, I think it was Billy O all the time, and they just – he knew he was going to get him. So they just kind of mailed it in on the year. Not mailed it in, but, you know. And I still look at that, and I'm like, maybe, maybe.
Tom, we actually had a caller that brought that up within the last hour that they knew.
Maybe it was Mr. Edelman.
Maybe it was Mr. Edelman. It was not Frank on the screen.
What did it sound like?
It didn't sound like Frank. But he brought up that idea that Matt Patricia was just the placeholder, that they knew they were getting Billy O'Brien, but they couldn't take him from Saban, blah, blah, blah. So my question or pushback on that would be, is Matt Patricia becoming the fall guy? Because I see the update out of the Shrine Bowl that Joe Judge is going to be there in a supervising role, and Matt Patricia is nowhere to be named, and I know you've alluded to the possibility that maybe he may not have a role with the organization. Is he the scapegoat, the fall guy? How's it playing out for Matt Patricia?
It does seem to be shaping up that way. Is he without a position or a place here through his own decision, or because the Patriots are shunting him to the side and saying, boy, it doesn't seem like we have anything here for you, son? I would highly doubt the latter. The Krafts love him. Belichick loves him. He just got absolutely riddled, figuratively, by bullets for the last 5 months. You better find a job for the guy if he wants to stay. On the other hand, he might be like, I need a year off. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's back. I wouldn't be surprised if he's not back. But it's still January 25th, so a lot can happen in the next couple of months. But, yeah, he does look like the fall guy in many ways. For it. If it had worked, if it had looked terrific, well, maybe Bill O'Brien's still at Alabama. And they would have said, well, look at this wunderkind we have on offense, this bearded genius, Matt Patricia. Who knew? But it didn't.
No, it didn't. No, this is officially a lost season, Tom. And in reading this piece and just looking back at the season on the whole and Belichick saying, well, if things go south, you can blame me, I think that this makes Matt Patricia a tragic figure, if anything else. Like, he's the sad guy left behind in all this. And I can't help but wonder that if he's not going to remain with the organization, and I kind of hope he does in that Ernie Adams capacity, but if he's not to remain with the organization, could it be he who says, you know what, actually, this sucked, and I feel terrible, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to command the respect in the building that I should, given what I got put through last season, because I mean, you probably read it in the comments sections. You heard it down at the stadium. He was the punchline of the season, and it's kind of a shame.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I mean, yes.
Yeah.
We've been doing that for months.
It's awful.
And in a way, it's a shame, Fitzy. Yes, I do feel badly for him, and I said that oodles of times during the season. Bill put him in a bad spot. We were saying this in, you know, after Matt came back and started getting sacked routinely, and they couldn't score touchdowns. And it was post-Bailey Zappi when it was the high end, you know, those were high times for Matt and Bailey. But after that, you know, you looked at it and said, this isn't getting any better. It's getting worse. I kind of feel bad for the guy, but he also could have said, I can't do that, Bill. So I do feel badly for the guy. And I hope that he has a place here. And I totally agree. And that's what I was just saying as well. Mm-hmm. He might decide, I don't want to work there. But he is beloved. Mayo loves him. Belichick, you know, he's attached himself to Belichick's side like a tick. But he likes him too. The Krafts like him. He's good at making people like him. So I don't feel that bad for Matt overall. I mean, he ran the Lions into the ground. He didn't really call the greatest defenses in 2017 in the playoffs. He almost lost to Blake Bortles, and then he did lose to Nick Foles. So there's a point at which I'm like, okay, that sucked for him. Bill set him up to fail. but he's still okay, the most better off than most of the populace.
He's got some money in the bank.
Yeah.
All right. Let's leave it on that note. That's a positive note. He's a very well-loved tick.
Fun. We could do more. Why don't
I do have one more for you, Tom. Real quick, since you...
I get all the time in the world.
We
Well, we'll have you Sunday. Don't give away all the gold.
Yeah, save something for Sunday.
Save something for Sunday at 11.
Really quick, though, I am curious because with Bill O'Brien coming in, and part of this piece from the Herald details them trying to put in the McVay, the Shanahan running concepts and everything. Does any of that carry over with O'Brien, or is that just the last that we're going to see of that, knowing that Bill is, you know, a little bit taken with that system?
That's a little bit of the mess that you look at, you know, when you walk back into the house after you have the fun. The dog pooped. Oh, well, I guess we had a good time, but we have to clean that up. What are we going to do about that mess? I mean, you spent an inordinate amount of time installing an offense, and you're good, smart football people, so I'm sure that there was a lot of upside to trying to install it. You just had plumbers trying to put together a house. No offense to either trade. So as a result, is there merit to narrower splits and trying to run some bootleg action off of stretch runs? Yeah, sure. And I'm sure they know it better than we do. But it's the best thing to go back to what Mac and Bill O'Brien are comfortable running. That remains to be seen. But that's why there are remnants, and that's why this story is relevant. There are remnants of damage done by the 2022 decisions. And what will the damage going forward be?
What will it be? All right, Tommy, thanks for joining us. We got to go pay some bills. We love you. We'll see you next week.
Screw you guys.
Bye. Tom E. Curran. He's brought to you by Wise Snacks. Go to wisegameday.com for your chance to win one of 100 authentic pro football jerseys. We're going to continue this talk on the other side. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WEEI. Had a fascinating conversation with Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston. If you missed it, check it out on the Odyssey app. Should be up there momentarily. Talking all Patriots today. Great article from my former employer, the Boston Herald, from Karen Garigian, who we're going to talk to.
Hello.
We're going to talk to her at 4:30.
Hey, how are you?
And Andrew Callahan, all about how things broke down this year.
Boston?
Yes.
You're Karen in Tampa? Brown.
No one is more beloved than Karen Garigian.
Correct.
Among everyone on Patriots beats and in the Patriots locker room, Patriots coaches, former Patriots. Just want to put that out there.
What's up,
so
girlfriend?
when you read like a hit piece and you go like, oh, this hot take artist, that has never been Karen.
Girl, no. You better say something to me, God dang it.
And that's where I think there was some credibility brought to this piece. And this is not a shot against Andrew Callahan, but he is not a 2-3 decade veteran of Boston with the type of reputation that Karen has. She brings legitimacy to this story. I think the people that say, you got anonymous sources. Yeah, another hit piece. I think they're idiots. I'm sorry. You don't know who Karen Garigian is if you believe that.
But aren't we past, we should be past that day and age, the whole hate us because you ain't us, you know, everyone getting their dander up because it's, you know, Spygate and we're defenders of the wall. Like, we're long since past that at this point. Earlier in the morning, though, it was a lot of typical Boston media stuff. It's unsourced. It's a hit piece. But as the day has progressed, I was saying to you guys earlier in the studio, as the day has progressed, you can sort of see the tide changing, like, everyone buys this. Everyone's in on this. Like,
it should.
It validates the feelings and the reportings of Tommy Curran. It validates things said here at WEEI. It validates how fans, the people that spent $2,500 per Sunday or Monday or an occasional Thursday to go down there and watch a torpid offense flail about like a beach seal on the freaking field, it validates everything they saw, felt, heard, and bought into.
Yeah.
So it's honest.
It's all real. It's all true.
The hell would Karen Garigian want to put her name and reputation for behind a hit piece because people think it's the, you know, a sequel to Wicker Scam?
And it's, well, was that a hit piece or was that true too?
I think there was much more truth to that than a lot of people want to think.
I hate that.
Hi, Karen.
That really pisses me off, to be honest.
Like, with the hit piece thing?
Well, first of all, you're allowed to write a hit piece if it's warranted. You can write a hit piece anytime you want. It's only a hit piece if things are going so badly.
And if also, it's true, is it a hit piece?
Like, just because it's an anonymous source, that doesn't mean it's not sourced.
Right.
I don't want to be condescending to people or anything, but just because it's not a named source doesn't mean it's not real. If you're reading a freaking newspaper.
What was that?
A newspaper.
That's how you say it in France.
Reading a newspaper.
We're in Boston.
There are levels of editing to this. There's levels of fact checking. And it just pisses me off when somebody like Karen has worked in this market, as you said, for decades. She covered the Bruins. She covered the Patriots for well over a decade. She is well sourced up. And it's just because it's not a named source. It's like, well, this isn't real. This is somebody making it up. I promise it's not. I worked in the same room with these people for years.
But Pats fans have basically been trained, or at least have sort of rallied up behind the idea that everyone's going to want to come for them. Here's the interesting little side note to that. People came for the Patriots when they were the most dominant team. People came for the Patriots when they were in the AFC Championship and in the Super Bowl all the time, because the broad target got the clicks and the likes and the retweets.
And they hate us because they jealous of us.
Exactamundo. And now that the Patriots are worthy of being flexed out of Sunday Night Football, they're not the same story anymore. So you best believe it. They're still a national team.
I still think they are a clickbait name. Like, if you put Patriots in it, it works. Yes. Yeah. Like, I think the...
It's true. Somebody plays for the Patriots for a month, but right. they're with another former team for Patriot. 5 years.
Or if, you know, so-and-so right. is going to be
look
available.
At the new Cassius Marsh.
Just look at the bet online trade things. Like, if you include Patriots, you get noted. If you just put a few other teams because he's going to go somewhere, it doesn't get the attention that the Patriots... It's all... The Patriots are still a draw.
Lamar's not coming here?
No, he's not coming here. Aaron Rodgers isn't coming here. DeAndre Hopkins, maybe DeAndre. Maybe.
Let's take a call here. 617-779-7937. That's your number. This is Jesse in New Bedford. Jesse, you're on.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
Yeah, just a couple things. You know, now that this story's come out, you know, and first of all, to all those fickle fans, okay, that wasted 150, whatever these jerseys go for now, on Zappy. I hope they go in their backyards and burn it, because for what Mac had to deal with between the fans turning on him, getting hurt that nobody talks about, getting hurt, having his coaches basically go behind his back and try to push this narrative that is so not true. Then let's not forget about what Volan did too during the season. And he's only a second year quarterback. So all these things that happened. And for Mac to wait is like Callahan. I mean, what Tom Curran said. For him to wait that long to finally lash out is a miracle in itself. It's a miracle that he even made it through the season with the stats that he did, with the lack of playmakers that he has. So next year, I'm a big Mac guy. Next year, I really truly believe that Mac Jones is really going to show up and show out. And all these haters drinking that haterade better go back to the store and get some water, because he's gonna you know what over everybody. And it's just disgusting what Bill Belichick did to this kid, and he's gonna prove everybody wrong.
Thanks, Jesse. I don't know what he's gonna do to everyone.
I wanna know, but I feel like you can't say it on the radio.
Gonna wait to find out what happens on the football field, but I do agree with the first half of that call. Totally, totally unfortunate what Mac had to weather through this season.
And I've been saying this for a while. Part of it too is financial. You're a young quarterback on a trajectory, and the trajectory is $250 million. You're a Pro Bowl playoff rookie quarterback. You've taken a first step.
Pro Bowl.
No, Pro Bowl. It says Pro Bowl next to his name.
Okay, fine.
Just like it never said Pro Bowl next to Edelman, it says Pro Bowl next to Mac. So that's next to your name. You're taking nice steps towards, and you start to think, I would be thinking this, I could get $250 million.
Yeah.
$250 million.
This program discussed one afternoon several months ago whether Mac would be a $50 million quarterback or $200 million would be spent on Mac Jones on a long 5-year deal.
And this past season, he looked like a $5 quarterback because of the system, because, the dysfunction,
exactly.
and everything around
and
him.
And if there's anyone out there right now who then now jumps to the conclusion of, well, maybe they wanted to drive his value down and
ooh,
they'll build
good.
Him back up. What they would want to do is drive his value. All right. Then, you know.
You did a good job.
Okay. There you go. Good job.
All right, conspiracy
theories. Value down.
We are going to step away from this story for just a minute because the Patriots did make a little news today.
Dun, dun, dun.
We're going to step away for just a minute. Don't worry. It ties back in. It's Patriots news. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.